Let's talk about sex. Now, how does that make you feel? Are you cringing at the thought of having a conversation about your intimate life? Sex is still a fairly taboo topic around the dinner table and even sometimes between couples, sadly, in this country. And a big question about this, if you've been worried about a sexual issue, were you able to find the information you needed? Message us on Facebook if you've got a story you'd like to tell. You can be anonymous, of course, or you can send us a text 0418 226 576 and we respect all your stories. So, do Australian adults need re-educating about sex? Mutty Silver thinks so. She's a sex therapist and she's written a book, Sex Down Under, about the issues she encounters in her counselling room. Mutty, welcome to Life Matters.
Hello, Hilary.
Why is it so difficult, do you think, for many of us to talk about sex?
I don't know. I really don't know. But after being a sex therapist now for over 10 years and relationship counselor, I noticed that many people I talk to find it very difficult to talk about sex and sexual issues.
Is it particularly in Australia, though, or everywhere?
Well, I don't know, because I'm only a sex therapist for the last 10 years, but I come from the Netherlands, and you know, we're much more open-minded, I think, about it. So I was actually quite surprised. And that was actually one of the reasons I thought, you know, I might write a book about it.
And I'm wondering if it was one of the reasons that led you to sex therapy, this interest in this issue that people seem so ashamed about.
No, it was actually accidental. I used to be a lifeline telephone counsellor, and I thought, counselling, I really liked it. So I started a counselling course, and you need a practical sort of time somewhere to, and I found Impotence Australia.
Okay, so you've got your start there. And I understand that one of the most common problems that people seek you out for is sexual dysfunction from men. So is performance anxiety a particular issue for males?
Yes, it is. It is. And I didn't realise that either, but almost 40% of all my clients are males under 45 who start with having performance anxiety when they're young, or sometimes it just happens after. You know, they might have had no problem at all, and then one day they lose their erection, and usually the females are not too happy about that, and sort of go like, what's going on? Don't you like me anymore? Or, you know, stuff like that. And that makes them even more anxious. And then that's sort of the cycle starts.
And of course, that's happening within a massive cultural framework where men aren't happy about that either. They assume that they will be able to keep an erection and please a partner. And it's so associated with male identity, as I think you write in your book. How do you help those men?
Well, I can't go in great details on the radio, I suppose. But look, I first find out what's happening. And so then I sort of explain to them that there is nothing wrong with them, that they just have acquired performance anxiety. And I explain how it works, how, you know, I mean...
It sounds like, from reading the book, Mutty, it sounds like, just to let you off the hook a little here.
No, I just don't know what I can say and what I can't. So
well,
sorry.
We can use the anatomically correct terms, but I guess it sounds like a lot of the problem is just being able to talk to someone about this and realise that they're not alone and they're not abnormal.
Yeah, and that problem is, they say young guys, you know, who sort of start having sex for the first time, and it happens two or three times, and they might go to the doctor if they sort of... keen, and then the doctor says, oh mate, here, have some Viagra. And of course, that's the last thing that a person needs.
And as you say, it's important to talk about the whole breadth of intimacy and relationships as well as the mechanics. Mutty, how much of a problem are the expectations, particularly the different expectations we have around sex for men and women?
Well, over the last years, I mean... Couples expect just sort of what they see on the movies, the American movies. You know, you're like, you get together, you fall in love, and you live happily ever after. And that's really very difficult to do. And these days, with so much porn around, so even teenagers and young people look at porn and they think that's almost their sex education. And they think that's what sex should be like. And of course, that's all fantasy, and it's nothing like it, really. So the expectations are probably very high.
I wonder how we can change that so that there's more of an expectation of mutual pleasure and that connection that helps people deal with those problems before they become massive sources of anxiety.
Well, that's going back to the first problem, that people are very difficult, they find it difficult to talk about it. So if they're too shy or too embarrassed to even sort of talking about it, then nothing happens.
Do we need to start with the language we use around sex?
Maybe. I mean, you know, even as simple as, you know, most people, when they talk about the genitals of their children, for example, you have no idea. I mean, there's very few that actually say, you know, to the children, you have a vagina and a penis. And so if you already can't talk about that's already the start. It's sex is a taboo. It's sort of like sex is dirty almost, like...
Yes, if you're using cutesy words instead of the actual scientific names for body parts.
the best one I heard about some years ago on Q&A, when a female politician talked about the vagina. She said, I tell my little girl it's her front bottom.
Ugh, I hate that phrase. It's my personal favourite, most hated phrase in relation to these euphemisms.
Yeah, so, I mean, people are just... And of course, the worst is that teenagers these days, the sex education at our Australian schools is just hopeless. It isn't there. I mean, in the Netherlands, for example, it's the law that children receive sex education from primary school to high school.
And I know some people in different parts of Australia are happy with the level of sex education they're receiving in schools. Perhaps people might like to leave us a message on our Facebook page with their thoughts on that. We're talking to Mutti Silver, who's a sex therapist, and her new book's called Sex Down Under. Mutti, you say one of the most common problems for couples is the mismatched libido. What is that, and what kind of damage can it cause?
Well, what happens is when people get together, you know, in the early years, everything is fantastic because it has a special name. It's called limerence. When people fall in love and they have sex as much as they can, and they're not living together yet. And so then when reality sets in and they sort of start living together, and then suddenly the difference in you know, like people wanting sex the amount of sex they want is suddenly comes up. And then when people can't talk about it properly, they get angry with each other. They get like, when one of the, it's not always that the man, that the woman wants less sex than the man. It's usually, it's often the other way around too. So when people start complaining about, you know, or they feel rejected, then already that sort of, unhappiness starts.
And so, Mutti, how can people manage to hold on to their intimacy and their connection in that situation while still respecting each other's boundaries and the differences in their libidos?
Well, I don't think it is always a difference in libido. It's just how you know, sex should be fun. And if sex becomes a chore, it's not fun anymore. And you'll find, for example, lots of couples that sort of already are together for quite a while. I explain to them, look, you're a couple, you're together, you know, you share a home, and there are lots of chores in your life that you don't want to, that you're not particularly mad about, like, you know, cleaning the house, doing the shopping. I can go on like that, but you find that sex is usually at the bottom of the list, because people don't understand that if you have a reasonably good sex life, usually you have a reasonably good relationship too. So sex should be seen as a more important thing. It's part of a healthy life, I believe.
So maybe we need a spreadsheet where everyone allocates some tasks and we slot in some time for sex during the week as well.
No, it still should be fun, but it should not be seen as a chore.
And Marty, what about the idea that if you address relationship problems, a couple's problems around sex might automatically resolve as well?
No, it's the other way around. Like I just said before, if people have a reasonably good sex life, you know, you don't have to swing from the chandeliers and make it, you know, fantastic. But then they usually are happier, and then the relationship is better too. Because if one of the couple resents the fact that they're rejected again. You know, some couples sometimes, because they one person rejected them once or twice, goes like, well, I'm not going to initiate sex anymore. And then they might have no sex for 6 months.
We've had a text from a young woman. She says, I'm in my 20s and mismatched libido causes such anxiety in my relationship. It seems there's no clear information as to how to fix this. Marty, is that because each couple will need a different fix?
Well, I mean, if a couple comes to me, I'm a solution-focused counselor. So I just find out what the problem is and what we can do about it. So I would, you know, ask them how old they are, how long have they been together, was their sex life great in the beginning, what changed, and what is the relationship now. And if I find that out, then we can find ways to sort of fix that.
And you mentioned in your book one simple change couples can make to the way they talk to each other and interact. You say instead of saying what's wrong all the time.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Instead of complaining all the time. I mean, there is nothing worse for a guy to hear when a woman says, oh, well, you know, I mean, my former, you know, another lover was better than he was. Or, you know, I mean, sometimes it's really... You have to be a bit kind to each other.
That does seem pretty basic. Can you
well,
still...
you know what? I think really, if people would just, well, almost say, read my book, it should be so much easier when people can talk about it to each other.
Can you still have a good relationship if you're not sexually compatible? I mean, how important is sex really in the great tapestry of relationships?
Yeah, but why can't people be compatible? You mean it's just give and take. So if you love each other, you know, it's not, you have to find a middle way. If you have a person that wants sex six times a week and the other one wants two, you know, that's a bit of a difference. But then you can, you know, it doesn't always have to be intercourse too. I call sometimes other being sexual out of course.
And that is definitely a strategy that's been proposed around this issue. Now, Marty, it's a pretty disturbing idea that there are so many couples in long-term relationships who've never really opened up to each other about what's going on for them around sex. Do we need to start teaching young people communication around intimacy to prepare them for having good relationships and good sex?
Yeah, look, again, you know, if there will be better sex education at school, not how to put a condom on a banana, but just more sort of about, and one thing is really important too. That's what schools actually could do, to sort of get some outside people in to sort of tell them that what they see on porn is not real. I mean, especially for teenagers. Anal sex for teenagers seem to be normal these days. Well, it isn't. But if girls look at porn too, so if girls think that that's what boys like, and boys think that's what girls like, or slapping the girls and ejaculating on their face, which seems to be quite normal, it's terrible.
There's definitely a mismatch between what people are seeing and the broad tapestry of human sexual and intimate connection. Marty Silver, thanks for joining us on Life Matters today. Marty's a sex therapist. Her book is titled Sex Down Under. And if this discussion has raised any issues for you, you can always call 1-800-RESPECT. They're a 24-hour counselling and support service, particularly around sexual violence. 1-800-RESPECT. You're listening to Life Matters on RN.